You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Wellborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
Hey, Power Athlete Nation, I have a special podcast for you today with V-Shred, aka Mr. V-Shred himself, Vince Sant. If you've been living under a rock and haven't looked at anything that looks like fitness on YouTube or on social media, you might not be familiar with V-Shred, but I'm doubting that completely based upon the fact that you're listening to this podcast. So if you're on YouTube and you've seen anything, you're going to have seen these commercials. My personal favorite being cardio doesn't burn fat, it burns calories. They brought on Dr. Drew, and Vince has built an empire of helping people lose weight and get in shape. They have a very different demographic than Power Athlete, but I'm still pretty in awe of what they're able to have done and what they've accomplished and some of the levers that they pulled. So this isn't going to be a real technical training podcast. This is more about the business and the story and the origin story of how they got started with Vinsanity Ab Shredder program and then have moved into V-Shred and built this juggernaut of a company looking to get people in shape. So it was great to connect with Vince, a real kindred spirit to say the least. So hopefully we'll get together in the near future and, you know, do another podcast and film some content. But buckle in, this is a good one. V-Shred. Dude, I'm fascinated by origin stories. So when you guys reached out, I have obviously seen your stuff on YouTube. And one of my favorite lines was, you know, cardio doesn't burn fat, it burns calories. I mean, all the little taglines, and started kind of going back through your catalog and a lot of the stuff that you've done. One, I was amazed to see that you're in your 30s. I felt like I've seen you for a lot longer. So yeah, I was like,
we started quite young.
I was going to be like, man, this dude must've started this thing in his fucking teens. But like how did this whole thing kind of start? And more, I'm just fascinated by origin stories and more importantly, interested in yours.
Yeah. Honestly, we never expected to be where we are today. I'll start with me, I guess, and then that'll transition into how we like started the business. Me, I was always just fascinated by fitness, and I was always a skinny kid. And so from age 14 is when my dad first got me into the gym. Our neighbor across the street had a gym. And so during the summers, I would, like when I was 14 and 15, I would go over to that gym with him and just work out. And they kind of showed me the ropes. And he was like, oh, he was like 70 years old. My neighbor was like 70 years old, and he was still pushing weights. And he was like, whole gym rat, like all about it. And then, so like that kind of evolved, and I just stuck with the gym. I was always like kind of insecure about how skinny I was, and started going on my own, and just like stuck to it from 14. And then I don't think it was until I was probably 20 that I actually learned what I was doing. I actually went and got like certified. And that's when I kind of really fell in love with it, because I really started seeing results then. And then how that turned into a business was, there was really no plan for the company to be where it's at today and have everything that we have today. I have three partners, and it was our now CEO's job or idea to start a fitness company. And he had a background in like marketing, advertising. Two of them had a background in running like Facebook affiliate ads. And so they knew how to like advertise if you could put together a proper business and you could put together like sales funnels and stuff like that. And he knew that he wanted to do something in what's called a mega niche. And so that there's only a couple mega niches. There's fitness, there's money making, there's real estate, there's love. So like there's a couple of those. And again, like I said, we were all just best friends, right? The four of us, we just met through going out in LA. We had mutual friends who introduced us, and from the get-go, we clicked, and we were just hanging out, and we would go to Coachella together. And granted, I was 18 when I met them, because I just moved to LA when I was 18 from Ohio. And then, Nick, my partner, he came to the other three of us, and he was like, hey, what do you guys think about doing like a fitness program, like an ab program. Cause like at the time I was probably 160 pounds, but always like really lean. And so like I always had really good abs. And so he was like, why don't we do like an ab program? And I don't know if you've ever done like P90X, but they have like their ab program, which is Ab Ripper X. And so we were like, why don't we just make like a new Ab Ripper X and sell that through email, maybe build a sales funnel and just like pay our rent. And so that's where it started. And we made the program, and it's funny. I was just talking about this story the other day. Filming that program was like, it was like the definition of like, one of my favorite books is a book called Ready, Fire, Aim. And it was the definition of Ready, Fire, Aim. We just went to this gym at like 4 o'clock in the morning, cause it was the only gym that would let us film. We taped our phones to these two tripods that we have, cause we didn't have cameras. And we filmed this whole ab program at 4 a.m. in the morning, and we stood up the program like the next day or 2 days later, and we started doing as best as we could with it. We were like, hey, now we have a program. Now let's try to sell it. And so we tried lead gen. We tried email marketing. We tried running ads to it, but it really wasn't put together super well. And so we didn't really see much success with it. Also, we found that the demographic of people who are looking for just an ab program is very small. Sure. Most people don't care about an ab program when they have 100 pounds to lose. And so we went from there, and we were like, hey, why don't we make more programs? Why don't we expand and make full body programs? We started with men, made our two staple men programs, which is Ripped in 90 Days and Fat Loss Extreme. And then we started out with like a long form sales letter. We tried to do email marketing to that as well. And again, did okay. And then we got the idea of, this was like back in the day when like, and it might be still popular today, but this was back in the day when like, I forget what website it was.
What year is this?
This website.
What year?
This was, so we started it in 2015, but then we started like actually taking it serious 2016, 2017.
Okay.
So this was back in the day when like, I forget what website it is, but they had like all those quizzes. It was like, what Disney princess are you quiz, or what type of tree are you quiz,
what kind of Disney princess are you?
Yeah, just like the weirdest shit ever, right? And so we saw that, and like we saw like the traffic that this website was getting just for free quizzes, and we were like, you know what, why don't we like make like a fitness quiz of some sort? Like how people can like identify like how to find the correct program for them, because what we were finding is that people didn't know where to turn to for advice. And this was before like the boom of online fitness influencers. Mm-hmm. And so like people didn't really know what to do. There wasn't a ton of information out there. It was hard to figure out, like, and now it's even probably harder to figure out what to do because everybody has an opinion.
Well, it's, but yeah, like, I mean, the market is saturated. I mean, and, it 100%. Feels like, I mean, to the point where, I'm even confused. You know, yeah. Because now you have fitness influencers and biohackers and this. I mean, it's like it's almost to the point of overwhelming. And, you know, the problem is, yeah. is if you overwhelm your customers, they just freeze. You know, it's the analysis 100%. Paralysis to you.
100%. And that's what we saw from the very beginning, as we were like, hey, we made these programs and we were like, how do we just simplify this? Like, how do we make this so that it's as easy to understand and it seems super attainable to most people, right? Because there's going to be people that like don't connect with it or whatever. They have specific goals or they have specific conditions or something. But like, but for most people, my mom, my dad, how do we find something that they'll connect with? And so we made men's full body programs. And then we were like, hey, we needed women's programs too. Obviously, that could be a whole new demo. We weren't even marketing to women at the time. So we made all these different programs, right? And they were goal-based. So it was like, whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to just like kind of change your body composition, and what do you want to bulk? And so we were like, how do we create some sort of quiz that caters to all these people's individual needs and helps them kind of connect with something that makes them think like, oh, this is actually what I should be doing. We were like, well, we like stumbled upon the somatotypes and just like talking about like body types and people talking about how like there's the ectomorph who wants to gain, the mesomorph in the middle, the endomorph in the larger end of the spectrum. And we were like, this is like a perfect way to associate people with following a program that's goal specific. And people have hated on us for talking about body types, like body types aren't scientifically proven. It was disproved by the guy who found them. It's like, yeah, but if somebody needs to lose weight, they need to follow a different plan than somebody who needs to gain weight. And if somebody wants to lose 100 pounds, they do it slightly different than somebody who wants to lose 5 pounds, but just change their body composition. And so that's what we did. We made it so that it was easy to associate with a specific approach towards getting in shape. And once we made that quiz, that's when things took off, because that worked, that connected with people. And people all of a sudden felt like when they took that quiz, they were doing what they should, what they specifically should be doing. Everybody, rather than just like.
We interrupt this episode with a shameless self-promotion. Do you want to build thick, sidewalk-splitting slabs of muscle? Let me introduce you to Jack Street. Get access to the same tried and true training methods I followed during my 10 years in the NFL, all to walk into training camp at 308 pounds at sub 8% body fat. Punch your ticket to the gain train and join thousands of residents already following Jack Street. Head to powerathletehq.com/Jack Street and claim your 7-day free trial today. Now back to the show. Everybody wants to, you know, assume that they're a unique and beautiful snowflake. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you're talking about like pulling different levers for different audience types, you know, but at the end of the day, like, is there a common thread? Like, is there a, I don't know, like methodology behind it that allows each person to kind of maximize what they want?
I think what it is it's buy-in from people. I think that helps a lot. I think one of the biggest things that people are missing when they're starting a new routine is confidence in the plan. And like let me put it this way. I am doing triathlons now. Okay. I started this new journey where I'm doing triathlons, and I'm pretty well versed in fitness. Right. And I could do all the research myself to figure out like what my triathlon training plan looks like. So let's say I did that. And then 8 weeks into it, I'm not getting faster at running. My bike times aren't dropping. My swimming isn't seemingly getting any better. I might go, did I do this wrong? Like, should I go back to the drawing board? Did I mess up somewhere? Versus if I have a coach who created this program for me, and I can just blindly follow this program knowing that this guy's done this a million times. On week 8, when I'm not getting faster, I'm just going to go, okay, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm just going to trust this plan. And so I think that's what kind of helped with our quiz, is it was like people finally when because you're going to hit plateaus in any fitness routine. Yeah. Like, it's just going to happen. You have to make adjustments along the way. And so when that happened, people could fall back on, oh, well, this program was built for my specific goals, my specific needs. And so I think that's what kind of helped people, I guess, be able to stick to it and buy into the idea of the body type quiz. Which we still market it as the body type quiz today. And again, I have people come up to me and they're like, oh, I watched your video. I found out that I'm primarily an endomorph body type. And ever since I started following your Fat Loss Extreme program, I've dropped 40 pounds and I feel so much better and all these things. And it's like, that is allowing versus like somebody who just went and bought P90X and they followed that as long as they could, but it was an hour and a half long workouts and they're pretty brutal, and versus ours is like 20 minute workouts. It's allowing you to eat all these different types of foods that you don't think you're allowed to eat. And so I think just the ease of implementation into people's lives and the confidence they can have knowing that this plan has worked for a bunch of people before them. And if they just do it, it'll work for them as well.
This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market. We've built an online training business by partnering with Train Heroic to deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Hammer, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training. And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best training tech in the business, head to trainheroic.com/powerathletehq. And now back to the show. Man, I mean, it's so simple. So what you're saying is that if somebody has confidence and they follow a training program with consistency, they end up meeting their goals.
100%. The issue is they don't get that confidence. It's tough to get that. Because like, there's obviously a ton of great programs out there, a ton of super smart people out there, right? But it's how do you talk to that individual? How do you talk to Mary, who lives in Kansas, and tell her, hey, I know where you've been. I know what you've struggled with. You need to be doing this. Once she feels heard and she feels like she's, it's like what you said, everybody thinks that they're this super unique snowflake, right? Yeah. And so it's like, if you go, I see you, and this has worked for people just like you, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, this is, I finally feel like I'm being seen, and they can buy into it. And so part of it's marketing, but part of it's just like giving someone a program that they're actually going to be able to stick to. That's our whole mission, is like, we're all about sustainability.
Yeah. No,
I mean, there's people out there.
Yeah. No, I could not agree more. I mean, in all the research and all the data points we've done, and we've been putting out programs and training athletes for fucking over a decade, the person that's able to maintain the greatest relative amount of intensity over the greatest longest or the greatest amount of time is the individual that meets their goal. So like,
right.
Even if like you give me 10%, but you do, you know, 10% 4 days a week, opposed from somebody that's 100% 1 day a week, it's just like, it's just like, it's almost like compounding interest. I tell people, yes. I'm like, if you put money in the bank and it's like the rule of sevens and over 7 years, it's going to double on this. I'm like, it's the same analogy. You know, and then I'm sure with consistent eating, you know, and then you're kind of pairing the two where now all of a sudden there's, I hope I'm not going to say magic foods, but like, that's kind of what people do. Hey, you know, these foods aren't bad. This food isn't going to break into your house and steal your fucking money. Like, and I hate how like social media is like, these foods are evil. They're going to convert you and steal your children. You're like, no, dude, anything overdone. I mean, you can drink too much water and fucking kill yourself. So, I mean, be smart.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I mean, there's definitely like, and that's, again, that's what we go back to all the time is we're like, hey, you can eat, like our whole angle is like, you don't have to do cardio. You can eat the foods that you like eating and still lose weight as long as you do it the right way. Like, is it smart to eat donuts right before you go to bed? No, it's going to mess with your sleep. It's going to mess with your growth hormone secretion. It's going to mess with your REM cycle. It's going to mess with a bunch of things, but you could do it and you could still lose weight as long as you're in the deficit. And so, yeah, I mean, we always go back. That's like, I love what you just said. Somebody, I could give somebody the blueprint to the body of their dreams. And let's say it's like from, who's that one bodybuilder coach who did like all the Mr. Olympia, Hani, I think it was his name. Let's say he gives one of our clients.
Ramboy?
Yeah, that's it. Rambot or something like that.
Yeah, Rambot.
Let's say he works with one of our clients and gives them this plan that's probably going to get them in incredible shape, right? But it's my mom we're talking about here. She's not going to do that. And so it's like, I would rather her do something that I give her that is maybe 60% as good as this plan, but she actually does it and she actually sticks to it. Because I mean, it's like what you said, like all the data suggests that whatever you're able to stick to is going to get you the best results.
Sure.
By far.
So what, when you guys sat down and were kind of game planning this whole deal, did you have a specific demographic in mind, or was it, hey, like I designed this product, now let's see who fits and where it resonates?
That's funny you ask that. We didn't. We're very much like a true startup story. Like we had no business experience going into this. We messed up a bunch of things in the very early days and we figured it out along the way. And demographic was one of those things that was like in the beginning. It's funny. I talk about this with my partners all the time. It's like in the beginning we thought, cause we started with that ab program, right? And like 45-year-old moms in Wisconsin, they're not buying ab programs. But that's where we started. And every video that we did, we like partnered with this other supplement company that we really liked. And every video that we did, I was also very new to like speaking and like talking on camera and explaining things. And so I didn't have any experience doing any of that. And so what we found was that I was speaking to one specific demographic, and that was me. It was other dudes my age in really good shape who really liked going to the gym. And
I got you, bro. Don't worry, dude. Just do what I say, bro. Like, you'll be jacked.
Yeah, after your hour lift, you're going to do this for 30 minutes and you're going to be good. It's like my business partner, he's like, nobody's going to connect with this. And we found that nobody connected with it, you know? And so in the beginning, we were speaking to this, I'd say 20 to maybe 30, probably more 20 to 25 year old demographic of guys who probably liked going to the gym, were probably already in pretty good shape, and they just were looking to get to that next level. But really, when we started pushing our quiz, that's when we kind of opened up all the demographics and we were like, let's just send this 18 and up and just see who bites, right? And so we made videos for like different age brackets. We made videos for different goals. And so what we found was it was really women 35 and up that connected with us, or connected with me, I guess, which was shocking to us because we didn't even have female programs for the first probably 2 years. We only did male programs because we were like, why would a woman listen to me about getting in shape? She's going to want to listen to a woman. And so once we made those female programs, started marketing it out to this wide open demo, it really honed in on that 35 plus women demo, which we've really completely adjusted our approach towards business and product offering and marketing to really hit on that demo now. Because, I mean, honestly, those are the people that need the most help.
Well, right? and they're the best consumers. I mean, women are 10 times the consumers men are. I mean, you know, like
100%.
All you have to do if you don't believe it is look at what the NFL did in pivoting into this Taylor Swift thing. And I've talked about it here before. I mean, for, you know, for years, they've done everything they could to try to pull women into that NFL demographic. I mean, breast cancer awareness, pink shoes. I mean, they did everything. And who would have thought Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift would now all of a sudden like dominate? I mean, they saw jersey sales go up 10x. I mean, women are just much better consumers than men. And, you know, that's a much better demographic. And I'm sure the pull through of marketing to women and then women get in shape and their husband's like, what are you doing? I want to do it too. Is probably almost better than marketing to the man.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's funny you bring that up. I was actually just looking at this stat the other day about what the Taylor Swift effect was in the NFL. It was like, she added like, I want to say like $350 million worth of value to the NFL and the Chiefs, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
I mean, I
you're 100% right.
Like I've said it before, like I wasn't necessarily aware, like I'm not really aware of Taylor Swift. Like I didn't really listen to the music. Like my daughters are 12. Yeah. They think it's fucking awful. Cause I always ask them like, what do you guys
think? That's a win right there.
Yeah, no, they're like, this stuff is awful. So there's like definitely a demographic that like, you know, you're aware of it, but I didn't realize the juggernaut of marketing and just like success. I was like, man, I've never been more impressed with somebody to be able to have that much gravitational pull, to be able to literally change the trajectory of an entire fucking business like the NFL to cater to this one individual because she's that powerful in terms of how she speaks to these women. I mean, like the concerts, like I saw some of the clips. I mean, I watched one of the things on the streaming, like her Eras tour. I mean, sets, I mean, it like so impressive. It's not really what I listen to. I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but like I'm a fan of what she's doing in terms of her success, and it's undeniable. And if anybody hates on them, I'm like, you guys fucking suck. I'm like, if you can't see what this what this woman has done. I also think it's hilarious, though, that the world was this excited about a woman in her mid-30s finding love. Like, I think that's hysterical. I'm like, you realize I had kids. Like, most people I know had kids by the time they were these guys' age, and they're, like, treating them like they're, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet long-lost lovers. But, I mean, just the ability to, like, focus media in that way. I mean, I'm, like, in awe of that whole deal. I mean, good for her, good for them. I hope they get married and have an amazing deal and a dozen kids and fucking crush the world. So wish them nothing but best. But it's an interesting case study that if you can find that one influencer, that person that speaks to the masses, hold on and just hopefully you're standing behind them when they're running 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I'm a little salty of it because I'm a Bengals fan. And so like there's a little bit of a rivalry there.
Yeah.
With
the Chiefs, the Bengals and the Chiefs.
I mean, now that we got Burrow and we're actually good. And so there was that 2 years in a row where we both played in the AFC Championship. And so I think, and we're the only team that's beat Pat Mahomes in the playoffs still, you know, it's us and Brady.
Yeah.
And so it's like, as long as if we can stay healthy, I mean, I think we're the Chiefs kryptonite, but we'll see. We'll see. So I'm a little salty that they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. I like to say that the NFL rigged it a little bit so that they could get the viewers for Taylor Swift, but that's a whole other conversation.
100%. The NFL players have no say in like the fixing the games. Like, dude, like that's
right,
bullshit.
Right.
Where the games get adjusted is through like the times and the media and, let's say referees and fans and call or like just all the ancillary stuff that goes into the games. Like that stuff can be manipulated away from public eyes. Do I definitely think that every one of those individuals in the NFL was working to have a Taylor Swift Super Bowl? 100%. Did they make it happen and did they win? 100%. They got what they wanted. And anybody who says anything different, like, oh, this is organic, is a fucking crazy person. Like, yeah. That was, I mean, they couldn't have written the story better. I mean.
I know, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, I'm glad you're also a believer in that, because I've been saying that for years, and there's obviously a big group of people that are also bought into that, but then there's a huge group of people that are like, no, there's no way. How could that have to be the biggest fixed deal ever for everybody to be in on? It's like, not everybody's in on it. Yeah. Like, if you watch the games, there's some favorable calls, and there's always favorable calls.
Yeah.
I mean, refs aren't perfect, but there's some favorable calls to the Chiefs. Like,
yeah, well, consistently. If you look, I think Patrick Mahomes had like 58 interceptions turned over. Because over the last like X amount of years, like 58 turned over due to penalty. Whereas like the next guy had like two. So, I mean, like there's a lot of like really, you're going to have to check me on this stat, but it's a legit stat. We were playing, I think it was Green Bay. We were playing Green Bay in the playoffs and we were on a long drive and, we had three TV timeouts in Green Bay in January at a 7 o'clock night game on an 18 play drive.
Dang.
Like it killed momentum. I mean, so like they do stuff like that where all of a sudden there's like, you know, a weird TV timeout or like there's a call that goes one way or this happens and they get the call up and all of a sudden you watch that one call completely change the trajectory. Like, you know, it's third and long and, you know, he throws a pass and then they get like a PI and it's all of a sudden now they light it up. I mean, like if you look at, what was it, Brady's first series with Tampa Bay. I mean, there was a bunch of like, you know, like they wanted him to go out and score that first one. And I think like they just kind of like help a little bit. And
100%. I don't know if you saw the stat on the Chiefs offensive line leading up to the Super Bowl. They had the most holding penalties of any offensive line in the entire league. And then in the Super Bowl, not one called on them.
They just cleaned it up.
One.
Yeah, they decided to get their hands inside. I mean, like when you see it, you know, and like I even call it the Brady effect, right? You know, if you look, like Tom really had three Hall of Fame careers in the course of 20 years. He had the first, you know, obviously played up to, 2008, but then they had the lockout and they redid the CBA. And his comment was, if they hadn't changed it, there's no way I could have played 20 years because they completely changed the game after that. Mm. They took all the pads off. I mean, players, changed training camp. It was once a day. So they took off the pads. It just really, they changed the trajectory. And then they started protecting quarterbacks or they couldn't hit these guys. I mean, it just really became a very pass-focused offense. And the reason being is that the money was too big. You know, they're paying these guys $65, $100 million. They can't have some fucking dude making $400K all of a sudden blow a dude's knee out. And after Brady got hurt in 2008, like that was the change. Remember, first game comes out, guy blows out his knee, the guard fucking missed the block. So I think what they did is they realized we have too much money invested in these guys. I mean, these are billion-dollar franchises with multi-million-dollar players. We got to protect the people that we're really playing the money for. So they just adjusted the game. And also with fantasy football and all the other stuff that's driven back into it, it just makes sense that it would turn into this really passing dominant. I mean, they neutered the defenses. I mean, when was the last time?
I was going to say, then just did it again this year. The whole hip drop tackle that they just banned?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, all you have to do is turn on. Okay. So when you go to an NFL game, they used to always show highlights, and every one of them was like LT and, you know, Bruce Smith and all these guys coming around the corner and just fucking murdering quarterbacks. I mean, if you look at the hits Brady took in his first couple of years, I mean, you see like, you know, I was, we played Dallas when Timmy Hauk ended Michael Irvin's career over the middle. That wasn't even a penalty. You know, so I mean, like, dudes were getting absolutely decimated.
Yeah.
And they just looked at this and were like, shit, dude, like, we're paying these horses to run. We're not going to let these guys get hurt. So we have to start protecting them. And then you get like Junior Seau killing himself, and they had all a bunch of press stuff. At the end of the day, the NFL is a marketing company. They are the world's greatest, you know, marketing media franchise. I mean, whatever you want to say. I mean, they're a media company, and they just so happen their product is football, and they get to bet on it. You know, right. So it's, yeah. But
I mean, it's funny you say that. I saw something that was like, it was just one of those like conspiracy Instagram videos where they were like, the NFL is filed as a media company.
Yeah.
It's not filed as a sports company, which means it's just like the WWE, which means that they could legally fix games and nobody could say anything about it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, if what's weird about that, and I'm sure that's true. You know, I'm not saying that the games, like, you know, some NFL guy came out, I think it was on Bussin' with the Boys or one of those other podcasts. It was like, ah, we got scripts. I'm like, we didn't get fucking scripts.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. Like, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, it's kind of like, when you hear, one of my favorites is people talking about the faking of the moon landing. Right? Like, we faked the moon landing. Like, that was into this. And my the only thing goes back to, maybe so, but think about how many people you would have had to be able to get in on that lie. I mean, you would add like dozens of countries, hundreds of people. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, we found out that CIA killed Kennedy, which we knew they did. I mean, they finally came out and like, yeah, we killed him. And so like, that was the CIA, and we couldn't keep that quiet. So like, they're going to be on a soundstage in Hollywood doing the faking of the moon landing. Do I think they could have? Maybe. But do I think we would have had? I mean, people can't keep their mouth shut. Everybody writes a telltale book. You know, look at fucking Jose Canseco writing about Maguire and those guys in the, you know,
yeah,
the
juice, true.
You know? So somebody
would. It comes out eventually.
Yeah, it comes out eventually. So.
But who knows? Maybe one day it'll come out.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been long enough.
20 years from now, all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes out and it's like, hey, I was in on these meetings and this is what happened. And then they'll do the same thing that the CIA did. Conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat.
And then he's going to suicide himself.
Only if he works for the Clintons. Did you hear like like another Clinton person got killed? They were like, oh, suicide. They shot themselves 5 times in the back of the head. Yeah. Fuck, those people are scary.
It's wild.
Oh my God.
Man, that's the new mafia. It was just politics.
Yeah, well, it's always been, I mean, politics, like,
true.
Do you remember, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but it was Justice Scalia. He was like, you know, the real conservative Italian Catholic justice. He ended up, like, all of a sudden they found him dead in a, like, hunting ranch in Texas that allegedly in the night he got on a plane and flew to Texas to a hunting ranch and had a heart attack in the middle of the night. And yet, like, his schedulers and his wife didn't know where he was. He just, like, didn't come home, and he ended up, oh, I jumped on this plane. I mean, like, that one never got investigated. And I remember that came out. I'm like, so wait a minute. This dude who's, I think he was in his 70s or in his 80s, who's a Supreme Court justice, just jumped on a private jet and ended up going to a hunting ranch in Texas in the middle of the night where they found him dead. I'm like, and that one just kind of like.
Yeah, that adds up.
Yeah, that one just kind of disappeared because I got into a debate with my wife recently about the Supreme Court picks and Trump and the fact, like, you know, the changing of the opinion of Roe v. Wade. And so we were kind of talking, you know, because here in Texas, you know, they said, leave it up to the states. And now there was a big thing about women getting abortions and then driving to California to get abortions. And then we just got into this, like, ethical debate on it where I feel like life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, you should be able to make your own decisions in this world. You know, like, if you want to do that. But I also, it's tough to live in a country. Like, I, you know, I have 3 kids. That's not right for me, but who am I to say what's right for everybody? So I kind of go back on this, like, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I also like the right to make my own choices in life. If I want to buy a gun, you want to grow a mustache, you want to live in Vegas, like, like, you make your own decisions in this world. So be an adult and don't have a nanny state. So, But yeah, that was one we got into, and she's like, how did, you know, how did these people get elected? And I'm like, well, let's get into Scalia thing. So that was our dinner conversation. I can see my kids just all look down at their phones when they're like, oh, here dad goes again. Oh shit. I feel like we've gone too far off. All right. When you guys were doing the programs, when did, like, you know, I feel like just kind of going back and doing some answer research. I mean, obviously, when you started doing the programs, it kind of hit. But what really hit is when you started pairing it up with nutrition and diet and there were recommendations. Mm-hmm. Or was that something that was always in the beginning, or always a part of it? Or was that a later addition?
No, it was definitely something that was always a part of it. We knew that we had to include nutrition in everything. And so from the get-go, we, again, tried to go down the route of trying to make it super easy to understand. And so, like, what we did from the beginning was build this, like, it was basically a five-step, like, calorie calculator that just made it, like, into the easiest possible way to calculate your calories, and then including recipes in each program. Mm-hmm. What we found, though, was people still weren't doing it. Diet's obviously the hardest part of getting in shape. It's also the most important part of getting in shape. And so people were doing these workouts, but they weren't necessarily trying to even do the diet. Or if they did try it, they still found it confusing, or they weren't doing the meals, or they would try it, but then they would get great results. And so they would just, like, stick to the workouts. Like, well, I'm just doing the workouts and I'm not doing the diet. And they're, like, wondering why they're not getting results. And then it wasn't until we actually brought on coaches who could do, like, more custom nutrition plans for people. And so we brought on probably our first coach year two or something like that, to really open up the whole custom plan demographic as well. And then what we started doing was basically marketing our program and then trying to upsell them, but take the cost of the program off of a custom diet plan. Therefore, they have the workout in the program, which, when it comes to workouts, like, it's like what we said, if you just do something, then you're going to get results over time, right? With the nutrition, you kind of got to be a little bit better about it, because you are likely to fall off if you're following something that's not going to work. And so when we brought on coaches who could actually work one-on-one with our clients, and people started getting our custom diet plans, that's when everything kind of started, I don't want to say taking off, but it's when we really started seeing results, because people were actually doing the diet. And also, we were pushing such low volume at the time that we weren't, like, if let's say you have to get 100 people to buy your program for one person to do the diet, well, we were only, let's say, selling a couple hundred programs a month or a week or however often it was, versus, like, so the number of people that we were getting testimonials from who were actually sticking to the diet was quite low, versus, like, compared to today, it's thousands a day. And so obviously you're going to have a much higher volume of people. And obviously we've made the user experience better now. Our customer service is way better now. Our coaches are way better now. And so we've done a lot of things just to improve the business. But we're just getting way more volume now. And so there's more people doing the diet portion of it versus now, but also we have way more, like, options when it comes to, like, programs and plans. Before, it was just like, you can get this one program and then you can get a custom diet plan. Now it's like, okay, we have tiers of custom plans. We have multiple different programs depending on your goal. You can upsell into a specific training plan with the cost of your program off of it, or you can just get diet, or you can get the combination of both while also having the program. And now the program's free. So, like, now we have a lot more options. But we did diet from the beginning. We knew that diet had to be a piece of it. Diet nutrition was not my specialty. I went and had to get a nutrition certification just so that I could feel comfortable really advocating for specific diets. But I mean, nutrition is quite simple when you don't try to overcomplicate it. If you're just like, if you stick to the main principles of what you need to do to lose weight or what you need to do to put on muscle, and you stick to the macros, you stick to caloric deficit or surplus, and then you kind of change that ratio of the macros, or you try out carb cycling, or if somebody came to us and they wanted really badly to do keto, or they really wanted to do fasting, then we have coaches that are really good at that. And so we've done nutrition from the very get, but we've obviously had to really tinker with the UI UX, like the user experience, and how easy it is to understand the nutrition aspect of our programs so that people would actually follow it, if that makes sense.
Hold on. Oh shit. There we go. Okay. Is it, you know, I don't want you to give away all the secrets, but I mean, just going through, and I went through your diet calculator, and it's kind of like gives you a crash and kicks out the macros. You know, if I continue farther on to it, then all of a sudden it just gives me a list of foods. And, you know, I was kind of going through some of your, I feel like fishing lure type videos where, like, you know, there's good phrases like you don't need cardio to lean out, you know, and, you know, it doesn't help with fat burning in this and build muscle. I mean, are you like, I'm just imagining a team of writers sitting in a room coming up with different campaigns and being like, V-Shred, Vince, let's fucking not rock this one and see how, let's put some dough behind it and see if we can get this one to catch. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yes and no. I mean, we're very good marketers.
You guys are good, dude.
I have a background in copywriting. And so does one of my other partners. And so we don't have, I mean, we do have writers to help us with certain things that we, it's not that the writers are coming up with these angles and being like, let's just try this. It's like, if we know what our angles are, yeah. You know, and when it comes to advertising, like our ads, those one-liners, that just comes from, like, I film every week and I film new ads every week. And the reason that our company has achieved the success that we have is because we test more than anybody. Nobody on the internet tests more ads than we do. Nobody tests more angles than we do. And what we find is that most of what we try doesn't work. And then you find those couple things that work really well. And then you lean on those. Mm-hmm. And so I'll literally just go out in my backyard. I'll film 50 videos. We'll run all those videos. And people are going to connect with one of those better than the rest. And then we can put more spin behind that. We can create new angles behind that. And so it really just comes down to, like, hey, and there's a lot of research that goes into that as well. People don't realize that, like, there's a lot of places that you can look on the internet to find what people are complaining about or what specific phrases are going to sink in. If you go to Reddit forums, that's huge. Yeah. If you go to Amazon reviews, that's huge. If you go to Facebook groups and just look at what people are commenting and asking questions about, that's huge. There's these different places on the internet that you can go and you can get literally direct feedback from your, not necessarily your consumer, but who your demographic is. And they can be, and you'll see trends. They'll be like, hey, I've been doing a bunch of cardio, but I'm not burning any fat. It's like, well, cardio doesn't burn fat. And so that's where angles like that come up. And so when you ask if there's, like, riders that are just sitting there and they're like, let's try this, kind of. Yeah. But we're also just doing that research to find out, like, it's not like a team of riders. Like, no, I wish we had a team of riders that were just giving me all this stuff. That'd be cool.
I just figured you woke up every morning, you know, you got carried out of bed and, you know, they cleaned you off and,
here,
you know,
here you go.
Here you you know, here's your breakfast. Here are your lines for the day. What campaigns, you know, obviously we mentioned one, but like would you say were your core campaigns that just caught fire where you were like, oh shit, we're onto something?
I mean, it was the body type quiz, 100%. We went from struggling, and I shouldn't say struggling because none of us were relying on this business to as our, like, our full time jobs. We actually picked this. We actually did this as a hobby in the beginning. We all had our things that we were doing, and then it wasn't until this actually caught a little bit of wind that we were like, hey, this has some potential. Why don't we all stop what we're doing and put all of our time into this? And that was around the time that we created that body type quiz. And it was the beauty of the type of marketing that we do, which is called direct response marketing, is until you will struggle to get sales until you find a converting offer. Once you find a converting offer, it is essentially overnight that you go from maybe a dozen sales a day to a couple hundred sales a day, maybe a couple thousand sales a day. And so when our body type quiz, when we really learned like how to build out this quiz and what types of videos to put and like what all we wanted to include, like the macro calculator that you were talking about. Once we put that in the quiz and we started saying, hey, get your macros calculated for free, because everybody knew macros. And so, or if they didn't, then we educated about macros. It's like, hey, if you want to learn about this, we have a free quiz that does this for you. That's going to help you get in shape, help you with your goals or whatever it is. Once we found that angle of marketing to the macros and marketing to the body types, everything took off. And to this day, it's been 8 years, almost 9 years, and our body type quiz is still crushing.
With the community aspect, I mean, you guys do an incredible job with before and after pictures. I mean, that I've always felt that the before and after pictures were probably the most powerful piece of this whole thing, because people see people that look like them all of a sudden making a life change. And if they can do it, I can do it. And there's that kind of community aspect. Outside of those before and afters, how do you guys build community? Do you have Facebook groups? Is it Instagram? I don't know, a Discord? I'm just wondering what levers you all pull in that direction. Yeah.
Great question. We do quite a few things. Most of it lives on Facebook. Facebook groups are very easy. Everybody has Facebook. And we can have people in there that are moderating quite easily and dropping videos in there. It's awesome that you bring that up, because I think what a lot of people undervalue is community, is having people around you who are doing the same thing, that are supporting you, that make you feel like you're not in this alone.
For some reason, everything crashed all at once. We were talking about community and the community aspect.
All right.
And more importantly, people seeing like the before and afters, which, dude, are super powerful.
Yeah, thank you. We use those for a reason, because obviously it helps to build trust. But yeah, early days, like going back to what we were saying about community, early days, we didn't put as much effort into trying to build a community as we should have been, because we have found, since we started doing that, obviously everything just improves. Customer satisfaction improves. People's understanding of the program improves. People's results improve. And so, like, in the beginning, I don't think we had anything, to be honest. But then it was shortly after that, we realized, once we actually started selling a couple programs a day, we're like, hey, we should put together some sort of group that people can just go into, and they can just be around each other and they can ask questions. And what we did was we just created Facebook groups. And I mean, I think our Facebook groups, we still have the exact same ones to this day. And we have multiple now. But back then we just started Facebook group or V Shred for men and V Shred for women. And so every single customer who purchases any type of program, the first email that they get is their login info to our website with a link to go join the group. And so we've done that to every single person that's purchased one of our programs since probably 2016, 2017, something like that. And not everybody joins, and that's totally fine. We always were like, hey, we got this awesome Facebook group as well. And we actually talk about it in the marketing material, where it's like, hey, we're aware that, or I shouldn't say we're aware. We tell people, we're like, hey, I don't know how much you value this, but the community aspect of getting in shape is huge. I mean, there's literally data showing that if you are not doing something alone, then you're going to be able to do it better. You're going to be able to do it, stick to it longer. And so, and we've heard this from people directly. They're like, I am trying to get in shape, but my husband or my family, they just laugh at me and nobody wants to work out and they're eating like crap around me. How much harder is it to do that when you have nobody supporting you? So what we do is we were like, hey, join this Facebook group. And I mean, those Facebook groups, I'll actually check it while I'm talking. But the people that are in there are awesome.
No problem. I was also kind of laughing that your symbol on your hat for V-Shred, which, you know, Vincent Sant, which is very clever, also looks like Superman. I was like, look at that. Look at you guys pulling in all this brand imagery.
Yeah, no, it's funny. We've been asked, like, where did the name come from? And we'll get back to the community thing. But originally, the company was called the Vinsanity Six-Pack Shred because that's where we started with, just a six-pack program. And we were just going to build everything basically around me. And then we changed from the Vinsanity Six-Pack Shred just to the Vinsanity Shred. And we stuck with that for a couple years. And then we were like, hey, this is growing. We need to kind of disassociate this from people just thinking that this is me running a company out of my garage or something like that. And that's when we changed to V-Shred. And I think it was a fantastic move. Just because it sounds, first off, it's less connected to me because there's people that don't connect with me. And so we wanted it, because like the dream of this business is to have a roster of me's essentially that are front end facing, that are talking to people, connecting with people in our programs. And so like, if you go to Peloton, there's like different coaches that you can select based on who you like, who you are naturally drawn to. It's the same thing with us. There's people who are not naturally drawn to me, or they're annoyed by my face because it's in their feed every single day, versus now we're like working with Dr. Drew. And mm-hmm. Dr. Drew connects with a completely different audience than us and has an extra level of credibility and trust. And so like we introduced a couple people like that. That's where we see this going. But back to the community thing. So yeah, the V-Shred for men group now has 338,000 people in it. Damn. And the V-Shred for women has 815,000 people in it.
Women are better consumers.
100%. And so like those are all customers. So those are all people who have purchased programs. And so slowly we've scaled up our involvement in those groups, because in the beginning when we had a couple hundred people, it was like we could pop in there once a week, twice a week, and just like drop a workout, drop like a Q&A, something like that. Now we have hundreds of thousands of people in there. And so we have actual coaches that are just hired to be in there and to ask questions and to do videos on carb cycling and do videos on how to track your macros, do cooking videos, do live workouts. And so it's essentially like a little free workout class in this Facebook group, and also just gives people a chance to, like I said, ask questions and get them answered, or just be around a bunch of other people. Because, man, it's quite crazy. Like my mom actually talks about this quite a bit. She's part of the Facebook group for women, or the V-Shred for Women Facebook group. And she says that anytime she's like feeling unmotivated or down or a little lost or anything like that, she just goes in there. And we moderate it. So like, of course you're going to get people that go in there and they're just like trolling other people and hating. But then I'd say 95%, maybe 99% of people are just the most supportive and friendly and helpful people ever. And so you'll get somebody that comes in there and they'll drop like 1 hour ago, this lady drops this picture of her. She goes, this is the part of the program I don't like, taking photos of myself, but I'm doing it so I can see the results that I'm getting. I'm down 7 pounds. I don't see much of a difference, but I know because I can wear smaller tops and pants and the scale says that. I'm not sure about inches because I can't find my beginning numbers. I have them written down somewhere. Drops this picture of herself. There are 188 comments right now from an hour ago of people saying, I can see the difference. Great job. Keep it up. You're doing great. If you're uncomfortable, you don't have to share photos. They are for you. Like all these people that are just building her up and making her feel accepted and making her feel valuable and making her feel like she's enough and that she's doing great. And that little piece of support goes so far in somebody's ability to actually stick to something long term. And so I love that you brought up the community aspect, because it's something we didn't put nearly enough effort into in the beginning. And now we do our best to get everybody a part of our community in some way or another, whether that's through social medias, whether that's through, we have like different, like, they're like subscription, not subscription, but like they're like, I guess they are a subscription, but it's like unpaid subscription where like they get text messages, mm-hmm. like text message motivations from us. We give out audio recordings that are just like walking them through like the first week of their program. just ways, just more hit points on them, more touch points, I should say, on them to get them to buy into it more, to feel more supported, to feel helped, right? And so, yeah, our Facebook for Women group is probably the coolest group I've ever seen on the internet. It's just people who are building other people up. And the men's group is the same. Men are a little less emotional than women. And so it's a little more quiet, but it's the same thing. Guys in there dropping before pictures, other dudes talking about their stories and what they struggled with and what helped them the most. And then other guys read that and then they can implement that into their lives if they want. People ask questions. We have coaches who are in there every single day answering questions, doing live workouts, doing live recipes, making protein shakes, like all that kind of stuff that people are confused about, that now they can just go into this huge Facebook group for free and just get all this extra information that they would have to somehow find. Like, all this information is on the internet somewhere, sure, right? Sure. Nobody's making up. I mean, there's new studies coming out all the time, but like, nobody's making up weight loss again. It's been established, right? But it's really difficult to figure out what somebody specifically should be doing for them if they have a specific condition or a specific question or a specific lifestyle. And so having a place that somebody can just buy a $47 program from us and then have a place that they can go and get all the motivation they need, get all the inspiration they need, ask any questions they need answered, it's invaluable. And so we have a couple different groups like this, depending on where people come in. Everybody has access to this, that they buy a program, but there's also like a free week masterclass that we do that basically gets people up to speed on how to start nutrition, how to start working out. That's even if they don't buy a program. At the end of that, we try to get them to buy a program, but it's like, hey, just come in, learn what you're supposed to be doing. And then if you feel like you've liked what you've experienced so far, work with us on a program. If not, take what you learned and go on your way, or just do the master classes every week. We have people that are doing that as well. We have a couple thousand people in our, it's a 7-day live master class every single week that we do. And then we also do challenges. People love challenges. So we'll do like 90-day New Year's challenge or 90-day summer shred challenge or whatever it is. Like, we just started our Spring It On 90-day challenge. We pay out $16,000 to the top three winners. And so it's like,
nice.
We're doing all these different things that people, there's just these different, like, everybody's going to be drawn to different things. And so if somebody's not drawn to a 90-day program, maybe they're drawn to a 90-day challenge. If they're not drawn to a 90-day challenge because they're not really sure if they want to invest in that, well, they can start with our 7-day masterclass that's free. And so the more places that we're offering people to get in and just see what we're about, the better. And then we try to get them into that community as well, show them that, hey, you're not alone in this. Hey, the stuff that you're struggling with is not, some of it's specific to you, but it's not impossible to fix or solve or anything like that. So yeah, community aspect is a large part of what we do now.
Dr. Drew, like, if you're looking at your demographics and you're kind of trying to figure out, like, how does Dr. Drew kind of fit into that? I mean, I know exactly where he fits into the demographic, and you guys probably sat back and looked and thought, hey, we do pretty well in this demographic, but this over age of 40 of guys. And I mean, I remember as a kid, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that Dr. Drew's not older, because I remember when I was pretty young, we used to listen to Loveline when he was on K-Rock. And I think, like, I was like a pretty young kid. I mean, this is like got to be fucking 35, 40 years ago. I mean, like, it's pretty crazy that Dr. Drew, and I think he was like a college student when he was doing that. On the Dr. Drew front, like, I mean, was that like, how did that partnership come about? And more importantly, like, what is it, like, what bucket is that filling?
Yeah, no, great question. And this is kind of what touched on, like, where the evolution of the next evolution of the company is to open up those demos, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I talked about how we found that my videos are generally doing best in that 35 to, I'd say, 50 age bracket, which is awesome. Like, that's a great demographic to have for us. But we always knew that, and it was a piece of it is to open up new demos, but we also knew that we wanted to not necessarily disassociate the company from me. I think everybody's probably going to know that this company, that I am like the face or one of the faces of this company for however long we stay in business, right? But we also wanted to make it bigger than just me. Like it's really difficult to make something a true like household brand if it's tied to one person,
Sure.
because that one person is only going to be able to connect to so many
Yeah.
people. I only have so much time in my day,
And
and so I can't be.
you're the bottleneck. And if somebody like doesn't want a dude with tattoos and a mustache and
100%.
You know, like, yeah. So, I mean, Dr. Drew is 65 years old, which
Yeah.
I fucking can't believe it. But yeah, he was, he started Loveline in 1984. So I was like 8 years old. I'm 48. Like that's crazy to me that as like a little kid,
40 years ago. So he started when he was 25. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, sitting in my brother's room, like my brother had a radio station and we used to listen to Loveline when I was a kid. I mean, he was probably like 14 or 15. So this is in the '80s and,
that's funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty interesting his longevity and, what an incredible brand partner to reach out to pull in this. I was watching the videos on him. I mean, he's still super fucking fit at 65. So,
yeah. So funny story about that. So you asked like how that came about, right? So we've always been looking for who could be that next Vince, right? Who could be like the next big face of our company that's in all the promo videos, that's in all the marketing, that's in all the programs. And we've been testing for years, right? We've definitely seen some success. But I don't know if you've ever, it's actually funny. I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but, I don't know if you've ever heard of Cameo. Mm-hmm. Cameo is like so we started trying to find people, through Cameo and we found Dr. Drew through Cameo and
We just did Cameos. So one of our programs. So for Power Athlete, we kind of like for what you guys do at General Pop, we do more for athletes. And okay. like do like performance coaching and, you know, kind of this, like, it's more like the demographic of like, I got a garage full of gym equipment and I want to fucking kill it. You know, kind of a deal more so than like,
sweet.
So it's kind of, it's a different demographic.
Yeah.
But one of our programs has been over 10 years. So we wanted to do like a funny kind of like, hey, wishing one of our programs birthday. So we hired a bunch of Cameo people to do like,
okay, yeah.
like what's like the Robert, you know, the guy that's the guy with the beard that's like, hey brother, you know, Robert, like the steroid dude.
Oh, Robert Frank.
Robert Frank being like, hey, he's like in his car. I was like $500, get it. We got like 20 of them. I fucking laughed my ass off. Like to the point where I almost was like, what if we could like get these people to do a cameo like every day and you could just send that to people as daily motivation? Like I was like,
we
would like fix suicide. If you could just get Robert Franks and all these different people being like, you know what? I believe in you. You're going to have a great fucking day. I want you to go out and crush it. I just got this video. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
No. And it's great that you're familiar with it. It's funny. I've definitely used Cameo for like birthday celebrations as well, just like getting like I don't even know who, Theo Vaughn or something, to like just say happy birthday to somebody. But we were so Cameo also has like a personal one and then a business one, and so we were looking for people who would possibly be interested in doing the business one, right? And we reached out to Drew, and what I loved about Drew from the beginning was he was never just a paid actor. He wanted to try our program because he had actually just finished a carnivore diet and he gained like 14 pounds on the carnivore diet, and wanted to try one of our programs.
In a good way or a bad way?
No, bad way. Bad way.
Oh shit.
He was trying
really?
To lose a couple of pounds. Yeah. He also told me he wasn't tracking the calories. And so I was like, well, there you go. But he said he was just eating too much. He was just, cause he, I guess he loves just, he's a big, he's, he started the carnivore diet because he just loves eating meat. Like that's something that goes with his lifestyle.
I'm not real mad at that. I call the carnivore diet the rich guy I want to eat fillets for every meal diet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm going to go buy all these Costco fillets and this is all I'm going to eat. And somebody said, some guy said vegetables will kill me and I never liked them anyway. So I'm just going to eat steak.
That's what he was doing. And he gained weight and he like wasn't sure. Like he said he felt good on it and everything, but like he wasn't changing the way he looked and he was actually going up on the scale. And so when we reached out to him, him and his wife, Susan, they both wanted to try our programs before they promoted us, which I absolutely loved.
Nice.
And What was that?
Oh, no, no. I mean, it's super smart. I mean, I think the one thing, especially in this space and what you've been speaking to this whole time, is authenticity. And mm-hmm. I have a feeling that the consumer, and I think that the social media, YouTube and the internet, and even podcast to some extent, there was like a Wild West period from probably like 16, 17 out and through like COVID. And I think what happened is there were so many shitbags entered the fucking market that like there's this kind of like, you can smell the authenticity now when you see shit, you're like, this looks super hacky, or this person looks full of shit. Like, you know, you get these fitness influencers stand up there and be like, no, I'm all natural. I won the Mr. Olympia. And you're like, this feels fucking inauthentic. And, it's like the Mike O'Hearn effect, where dude looks fucking great. He's in his 50s. Even if he told me he'd take drugs, like, he still looks better than 99. Ooh. Who cares?
Right.
Like, I don't really care that you don't or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. But the fact that people are so obsessed with it, I'm like, dude, the guy has had a ton of plastic surgery. So, which is fine. I mean, his face looks like he reminds me of the Red Skull from the Marvel, you know, with like, it's so clean.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's had a ton of work, you know, he's probably had hair extension, you know, hair replanting and all that stuff. But then he doesn't take steroids. I'm like,
that's where he draws the line.
Yeah. Well, you got to be ethics. So, but at the end of the day, I could fucking care less. Like, it doesn't, you know, like, you live your best life unabated by me. But I think
if anything, it would be more respectful to just come forward.
Yeah. It'd be like, I got fucking hair. I got butt plugs. I had the Botox and face and this, and you went through the whole thing. Like, at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck. But I think what 100%. Happened is there is this weird, like, feeling of lack of authenticity. And I think as long as you can maintain authenticity and be an authentic individual that is actually practicing what you preach. So bringing on somebody like Dr. Drew, that's like, hey, I want to do the program. Like, this is where I'm at and coming to do it. I think it's super sharp. Like, I wouldn't work with somebody who didn't at least try the training or at least do something similar. And I think it's just 100%. Really easy to go out there and find different people, but you're like, they're probably not good brand partners. And I think that's what you're searching for.
No, we always wanted people who lived and breathed and bled V-Shred. Like, we don't want somebody who's just here because they're getting a paycheck. Right. And so, like, that was one thing that really, like I said, that we really liked about Dr. Drew, is that he and his wife wanted to follow a program because they were both recently had both gained weight. And so they were looking for something anyways. And so they were like, we'd love to try the program. And so we hooked them up with like full custom plan, all that kind of stuff. And they both ended up losing like 20 pounds, like really quick, and getting better and getting stronger. And they both look phenomenal. And after that, then they were like, oh, I mean, we're testimonials essentially now. We believe in this. We had a great experience following your program, working with coaches, taking your supplements. And they were like, now let's work together. And then that's when we started like testing these videos, and his videos, obviously he's Dr. Drew. Yeah. And so like, we could hit a much different angle with a medical doctor versus with just like a personal trainer myself. And he's also phenomenal on camera. Yeah. He's a great marketer. He's super personable. He's like, he's got like that cool vibe that we were going for while still being super credible. And so we started doing some videos with him, and they did really well, like out the gate. Of course they did. And now we have a much larger partnership with him, and everyone is very happy on both sides of it. We got big plans moving forward with him. And so, and you're right, that it does open up a different demographic. He's 65 years old. He's got white hair, and that's going to be a much different person that sees him in their feed who immediately starts listening versus seeing this 30-year-old dude who some 55-year-old guy might go, he doesn't know what hell I'm going through.
I think he's had white hair for as long as I think I've ever seen him physically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I don't ever remember him not having white hair, and I'm actually looking for any pictures. So like he might have been real blonde and it just kind of like went white when he probably got a little older. But do you remember him? He was in do you remember Celebrity Rehab?
Yes, I've talked to him about that a couple times.
Fuck, I would love to talk to him about Celebrity Rehab. I like that was by far like the most like insane train wreck of humanity I've ever seen. Like I think that pretty much destroyed reality TV and MTV. They were like, after that, they were like, just take this motherfucker down. Like that's Celebrity Rehab. And you know, and he's a pretty genuine guy. Like, I don't think he's disingenuous. I think he legitimately wants to help people. And he has so much brand credibility. I mean, he's just been doing it forever. I mean, I remember like as a kid, like listening to Love Line and, you know, girls are calling up talking about like, getting crabs and like all that. I mean, this is the first time we ever heard about like, you know, venereal diseases. And he's like, well, here's what you have to do. And like trying to talk these kids through it. So he's been this kind of voice of a generation of like, you know, medical. I mean, it's super sharp, dude. It's really, really smart marketing.
No, he's very smart. And what I love about him is like for him. So we do have a team that works with him to like figure out what angles we want to take. And he takes hard stances. Like I mean, most people know he's quite opinionated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes him great. And also you kind of have to be like, you got to go by the research, but you also have to take a hard stance on what you believe is right. And he does that with us. He will not just film something just because we asked him if he would film something. He's like, well, explain this to me, mm-hmm. explain this angle. Why are we saying this? Can we put some context behind this? And so like, he is like truly, first off, truly a believer in the company because it got him results. It got his wife results. And we have a really great friendship and business relationship now. And like it's not just, he works for us. We work together to figure out like how we want to connect with the masses. And he comes to us with ideas. We go to him with ideas. And so it's been a beautiful partnership, man. And he's a really cool guy. He's really smart. And he truly cares about people, like truly, truly cares about people, like wants to see people get healthy. And that's what we're looking for.
Sure.
Right. We don't just want somebody to come in and just read scripts and take their check and then go off and do whatever they want. We want people who want to help people. We want people that want to make an impact. We want people that believe in the programs that we're promoting. And he checks all those boxes and then some.
How does the diet and training change? I mean, is there like a pretty standard approach, like if you're 30 versus somebody who fits within Dr. Drew's 65? Like, are you training and doing diet differently for that kind of aging population opposed from, let's say, the young fucking V shredder go harders?
Yeah, I mean, not massively different. No. A big piece of it comes down to what they want to do. And so like if somebody has specific preferences on the nutrition plan that they want to follow or the type of workout, whether it be home, gym, whether they're a CrossFitter, whether they're whatever it is. But I mean, the one thing that is a staple across all of our programs is to make sure that you're getting in resistance training, whether that's with weights, resistance bands, body weight, making sure that resistance training is incorporated, because obviously muscle is like sarcopenia is a serious thing as people get older. And so that's something that Dr. Drew talks about a lot. And so like in the beginning, but then you also have to cater it to what is realistic for people. Someone who's 30 years old, they can go to the gym, they can kill it with weights, and they got a little bit, maybe they have, well, depending on who it is, they might have less time because they just got newborn or something like that, versus like a second lifer who's 55 years old, they're empty nesters now. They might have more time. So it all depends on what that person's individual situation is. But the principles remain consistent across the board. Types of workouts that could change a little bit depending on like what your personal goals are or what you have access to or how much time available you have. Like, I don't think 55-year-olds should be running on the treadmill. I don't think 65-year-olds should be trying to max out on bench press. And so like there's different, slightly different approaches to it, but same principles across the board for the most part.
Nice. So you guys have been in business for, you know, coming up on what, 9 years? So what is the next you know, 5 years, 10 years? Is there a goal pushing this thing out? I mean, it feels like you guys are looking to grow and build this. I mean, you've already grown it. You're building it into an empire, if it is not already. Is there an exit strategy where all of a sudden now I go sell to a company, or is it something where you're like, you know what, I'm 31, 32 years old. Is that how old you are?
30.
Yeah, 30. So, I mean, what does the next 30 years look like? Are you going to be doing this for the next 30 years, or, you know, you're going to sell this thing, package it up, and fucking go lay on a beach for the next 20 years?
You know, I'm not sure. We've obviously discussed where, like, our main discussions are around, like, we stay more short term, and by short term, it's like the next 1 to 3 to 5 years. In 10 years, maybe we go, okay, we've maxed out our potential. Let's see if we can sell all of this or a piece of this and get a big payday and just watch some other group come in, bring on a board and grow this bigger than we could even ever have imagined, while benefiting from the 10, 15, 20 years of work that we put into this thing. Right. But right now, we have so many big lofty goals that we truly feel like we still are just barely scratching the surface,
sure.
Which is crazy to think, because we've done such big numbers. We've helped so many people already, but there's so many things that we haven't done right, that if we fix those things, we can help so many more people, and we can help them so much better and so much faster and so much easier. Like if we, like it's little dumb things. Like our tech, like if you have good tech, if you have short page load speeds, like quick page load speeds, you're going to be able to help more people. Because if somebody goes to your page and they're trying to use your macro calculator and it takes 3 seconds to load, you're going to lose 80% of those people versus if it takes 0.25 seconds to load, you're going to get so many more people that look at that macro calculator and maybe love it, maybe don't, whatever, but it's going to get them to the next step. And if you can continue to get people to the next step, and then also like just new product innovation, making new programs, making like recovery programs, stretching programs, building an app where we have live classes within that app, building out new supplement lines. Like we want to make like a longevity supplement line that's going to hit that older demographic with like NAD and stuff like that. And so we have apparel. That's a big next one that we're going to be moving on, is like, obviously apparel is a huge piece of things. And so like if somebody wants to get a V-Shred t-shirt or some new sweatpants, we have a full apparel line for that kind of stuff. And then if we even want to like turn this into like a house of brands, where it's like we get into skincare or we get into like other health and wellness niches, then we can. And so like right now we've achieved more than we ever thought we would with this company. But I think it's only opened our eyes to what's truly possible moving forward. And I think that, and we've done this all with just me as the face. So now our thought process is, well, what if we get me and Dr. Drew, and then let's say we get 5 more Dr. Drews. What's possible when that happens? What products can we build around Dr. Drew? What products, let's say we get someone, let's say Dr. John, what product can we build around Dr. John? And so like, we think that we're just honestly getting started, and our goal is to maximize this. It's to see like, how big can we truly build this into? Can we build this into the Nike of fitness, the Netflix of fitness? Can we, we've always talked about maybe turning this into like, we have this, the biggest fitness app in the world, and there's live classes every hour on the hour for every single type of fitness you could want to do, whether it be Zumba or Pilates or yoga or whatever. You go into the app, you book your slot for this fitness class. Like how, that would be awesome. And so like we got all, and who knows what actually comes to fruition, but we got all these ideas. We just need to fix a couple things as we go so that we can actually implement them. And yeah, I mean, we're going to have ideas that never actually end up working out. And then we're going to have ideas that absolutely crush it. And so right now we're so head down focused on what we're doing, that I mean, an exit would be awesome, but the price that we, let's say we were looking to exit in a year, the price that we would get in a year from now versus if we do everything that we know that we're capable of doing, what's an exit look like in 10 years? when we're truly a household name. You are, everybody knows.
You're young enough to do it. I mean, you're young enough to do it at 30. I mean, shit, dude, if you're, you know, already at this point, you got another 10 years. So I'm just, I just didn't know if, you know, because you see somebody like Dr. Drew coming in. I mean, if I was Dr. Drew, especially at my position, I mean, I wouldn't come in as anything other than like some form of ownership in it. Which would be smart, because he'd be the type of guy to be like, hey, like, we open this thing up. And so you start adding kind of people like that. So that's all I was asking.
It's a good question. Yeah. And that's why, like, because we value that relationship with Dr. Drew immensely.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
We want to make sure that we're taking care of him, and we do take care of him as best as we can. And we do have bigger goals than just having him being in our marketing. We do have goals of building an entire brand around Dr. Drew and him being the face of it and us being the engine behind it. We got some big things coming up.
Nice.
And again, like I said, we feel like we're just kind of getting started, which is wild in year 8, 9. But I mean, now we have a team. Now we got processes. Now we got operations built out. We got the finances to fund big new ventures. And so it's like, what we've done so far with 4 psychos who worked 18-hour days and just got shit done and woke up every morning and picked the biggest fire and just put that out that day and focused on all the rest down the road, right? Now we have teams that are working on all these individual pieces that maybe we weren't great at. We weren't great at customer service in the beginning, and people hated on us for that. Now we're phenomenal at customer service. We weren't great with our custom programming in the beginning because our coaches didn't have the time to treat everybody. Now we have a ton of coaches, and so our NPS score is phenomenal. So all these things in the beginning that kind of held us back, now we have entire teams and operations built out around those. What's possible now with a super talented team and the money to do fun stuff? So that's kind of how we look at it.
Sounds awesome, dude. Well, I mean, I don't need to tell people where to find you. I mean, if they go to VShred, they can check it out. So, but dude, thanks for coming up, Power Athlete Radio, dude. It was great to connect. And if I'm in Vegas, man, I'll hit you up. Maybe we'll hit one of these dinner spots.
I was going to say, you should definitely hit me up. Yeah, we talked about a little bit of the food out here, and well, there's a couple spots that I've been wanting to hit. So,
oh, Dan, I'm down. And I know you're not a crazy person, so you actually probably similar wavelength to me. But yeah, no, I got to I'll be out in Vegas, the ADCC 2024. I don't know if you know much about like jiu-jitsu and grappling and any of that stuff.
Oh, okay. No, so, I'm not super well versed in that.
Yeah. So the guys I train a guy, Victor Hugo, is like one of the top ultras in the world in BJJ and grappling. So the ADCC.
So don't mess with you is what I'm hearing.
Well, I do train with those guys. But yeah, no, I train other badass dudes fucking way better than me. But they have like the ADCC, which is the Odabi something championship. It's like the biggest grappling deal in the world is in Vegas. Their finals is in August, so it's a pretty
okay.
Yeah, they're doing it at the T-Mobile Center, so it's gonna be pretty pretty dope. Yeah, I'll hit you up, but yeah, we're gonna be out there for that, and it should be fun. You get to come
there, maybe we can get you into B-Shred HQ and we can do another podcast episode on ours, and I can interview you.
Shit, I'd love to. Yeah, well, I'll count it. I'll hit you up and we'll go from there.
Cool. Let's do it. All right. Well, I appreciate you having me on here. This was fun.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. Look forward to meeting you in person. See ya.
All right. Later, dude.
See ya. Hey there, Power Athlete Nation. Big shout out to all the heavy hitters who stuck around till the final whistle. If you've been soaking in the knowledge bombs and epic tales you've been dropping for free, here's your chance to be a game changer. Swing by klfi.com/powerathlete and toss a few bucks our way to keep the podcast fueled and firing on all cylinders. That's ko-fi.com/powerathlete. Your support makes a difference. See ya.